When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Telles from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Let's open the file. It says Chrome logins. R.E. Telles. Now, read to me username. What's it say?
The username is R. Telles at Clark County.
Okay, what's the created date and time on that?
8/23/2022 at 6:04:56 p.m.
All right. And what is IDI core? Do you know what that is?
I do not know
okay.
what IDI core is.
But essentially, just to be clear, the last thing that we looked at also tied into IDI Core, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so all this comes from the IDI Core program, right?
Correct.
And whoever punched in their username put in R. Telles at Clark County?
Yes.
Okay, on 8/23 of 2022?
Yes.
Now I'm opening a file that says Chrome Web History Expanded Person Search. Can you tell me what's the date and time on this one?
8/23/2022, 6:05:41 p.m.
And read to me the URL or the website that was being visited.
It's www.idicore.com/search/expanded person search.
And there's a visit count. How many times is that visited?
Seven.
And again, this is all from the same date as we saw those other images that appeared to come from a desktop monitor.
Correct.
Court's indulgent. I have no further questions for this witness.
In reference to the report that you generated, which is State's Exhibit 354, we'll start with the questions concerning the extractions in reference to the cell phone. Do you call that line of questioning? There are a number of times that you were asked by the state the cell phone, and you pretty much every time responded the iCloud, correct? These images that you can testify to were derived or extracted from the iCloud.
No, iCloud would be for an Apple phone. This was a Google phone.
Okay, so it would be the cloud. I mean,
yes.
Are you aware of how many devices, communication devices, had access to this cloud?
I am not.
So it could be one, it could be 20. You're not able to give an opinion or testimony in reference to the number of cell phones, correct?
With access to that cloud account, no.
You have had experience in your employee dealing with clouds that are hacked?
Personally, no.
Personally, but you've been, but you're aware of investigations wherein a person's cloud is hacked?
Yes.
In fact, we hear about it, don't we? Oftentimes, oh, my cloud was hacked.
We do.
You were not called upon to conduct an investigation concerning the hacking of this cloud, correct?
No.
You were asked questions concerning an application in reference to security cameras. Do you remember that line of questioning?
Correct.
And it appeared that there was an app downloaded, whether to the phone. Can you testify concerning that? Was that downloaded to the phone or to the cloud?
It was downloaded to the phone.
So we're able to pinpoint the security application being downloaded to that phone, correct?
Correct.
The Pixel phone?
Correct.
And you were asked a date, and that date was on September 5th, 2022, correct?
That sounds correct.
And this app that was downloaded was concerning security cameras?
That's what it sounds like.
Fairly common. One can download a security camera app in order to monitor their security cameras.
It is.
You'll agree with me that generally people download or purchase a security camera and download an application concerning that security camera if there's a concern in reference to their security.
Yes.
You were asked questions in relation to the date that Mr. Gehrman passed, and you were told, hey, if it's September 2nd, 2022, would you have any reason to disagree with me? You call that question?
Yes.
Obviously, this case concerns the passing, the killing of Mr. Gehrman, correct?
Correct.
Fair to say that a person downloads a security app in reference to a security system in order to protect themselves and their property.
Correct.
Objection, cost respect.
Obviously, the point being that hey, if a person's concerned about their security, someone that they may know has been killed, it would be reasonable to assume they would get a security camera and download an app in order to access that security camera from their phone.
Could be.
In reference to the Dell, the desktop, the last part of your questionings concerning various downloads in reference to Mr. Gehrman from the office laptop. Remember that line of questioning?
The office computer, yes.
Correct. Based upon your testimony, those images were downloaded after 6 p.m., correct?
Those images were still in UTC time. The one on the screen shows right now they haven't been converted for Pacific Standard Time yet.
After 5 o'clock?
No, that website, if you do the time conversion, would be 11:05:41 a.m. on the 23rd.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Can we direct?
Yes. Detective, there were some questions about hacking.
Did you see, when you reviewed the phone, did you find any evidence that this phone download was corrupted in any way?
No.
Did anybody from Metro Homicide provide you any information to suggest that this phone had been hacked into?
No.
There was questions about it's reasonable to assume. I think the question related something along the lines of, if someone had been murdered, it might be reasonable to assume someone might download a security camera to potentially protect themselves. Do you remember being asked something like that?
I do.
Under that same line, possibly if someone actually had committed the killing, would it be reasonable to assume you might want to put security cameras up to see
and
if people...
Not object as a speculation. Thank you.
Okay. The time that we can see up on the screen, 6:05, on 8/23/2022, when you convert that to UTC time, what does that actually come out to?
Again, it's 8/23/2022 at 11:05:41 a.m.
Great. Showing opposing counsel, which is marked as
No objection.
Permission to publish 351.
It's admitted by stipulation at this
correct,
time,
yes.
And you may publish.
Could we just queue over for 1 second? So, we... August 22nd fell on a what?
August 22nd fell on a Monday.
And you said the time was what time when you converted to UTC time?
I believe it was 11... Well, what I converted to Pacific Standard Time
mm-hmm.
was 11:05 and was it 41 seconds?
So on 11:05 on a Monday, someone went into Mr. Tallis's work computer and started looking up things like 7216 Braun Circle.
Correct.
I have no further questions for this witness.
No requests.
Thank you very much for your testimony here today. You may step down and you are excused from your subpoena. Do you have the next witness waiting?
May we approach her?
Sure. Thank you. Okay, at this time we're going to recess for lunch. During this recess, you're admonished not to discuss or communicate with anyone, including your fellow jurors, in any way regarding the case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. Read, watch, or listen to any news or media accounts or commentary about the case. Do any research, consult dictionaries, the internet, or reference materials. Do any investigation, test a theory, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own or former express any opinion regarding the case until it's finally submitted to you, and we'll be in recess till 1:30. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, for making her to be sure.
Stipulate to the presence of the panel?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the defense?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may call your next witness.
Your Honor, the state calls Detective Gaddis.
Raise your right hand and face the court.
You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
You may be seated.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
My first name is Justine, J-U-S-T-I-N-E. My last name is Gaddis, G-A-T-U-S.
May I proceed?
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you employed?
I am a homicide detective with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
How long have you worked for Metro total?
Total 17 years, and I've been a detective for 12. I've been in the homicide section for 6.
Okay. So you were working in the homicide section on September the 3rd of 2022?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you describe for the members of the jury how it is that homicide assignments for particular cases come about? Like, what is the rotation?
And that's exactly what it is. It's literally a rotation. We have 4 squads. There's 6 people on each squad, and it just goes through basically 12 different teams as the days go by. It's just whoever catches the next case.
So there's no way of knowing ahead of time when you're going to catch a particular homicide?
No, ma'am.
and it's random who's assigned to a particular case?
And it sticks in the rotation form.
Yeah. Okay. So you had no way to pre-assign yourself to the investigation of Jeffrey Gehrman?
That's correct.
You just happened to be the team that was up on the 3rd?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you got that case, can you describe for the members of the jury how it is that detectives in homicide are notified to respond to a particular location?
So we get phone calls or texts actually pretty regularly, but that day in particular, it was I think probably just a text message. They send us an address and an event number, and that's it. We show up at the address, and then we get a briefing from the patrol officers, and they give us a general background of what they have so far with their preliminary investigation.
Okay. And so on the 3rd, you would have responded to Bronze Circle?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's 7216 Bronze Circle?
That is correct.
I'm putting on the overhead what's been admitted, State's Exhibit 4. Does that appear to be the location that you responded to?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you respond by yourself, or did other detectives come with you?
No, my team. We all go together as a team.
Okay. And the team would include like a lieutenant, a sergeant, and...
That is correct. And if there's 6 detectives that are available, all 6 of us go. Sometimes people are off or on vacation, but then our chain of command, so our sergeant and then our lieutenant.
Okay. And when you first get there, I think you mentioned that you're briefed by patrol detectives. Is that correct?
Yes. On this one, it was patrol detectives who briefed us.
Okay. And then after you get a briefing, what do the homicide detectives do after that?
We pretty much assign jobs out. Being the lead case agent, we know our responsibilities, and that's basically to document the scene along with the crime scene analyst. The rest of the members of the team will have them go look for video surveillance, go try to find witnesses, just knock doors and see who can find to talk to.
Okay. So you were the primary?
Yes, ma'am.
So that meant you stayed at the scene with the crime scene analyst?
Yes.
When you walked, I assume at some point you walked the scene?
Correct.
And did you go inside the house as well?
Yes, ma'am.
When you did sort of perimeter view of that scene, did you see any signs of forced entry or anything that caused you concern that the inside of that house might have been compromised?
No.
The scene's primarily on the left side of the house on the side yard?
The west side, yes.
Okay. When you went to the scene, I assume it was roped off by patrol officers?
Crime scene tape was up, yes.
Prior to your arrival?
Correct.
Okay. And I'm going to put on the overhead now State's Exhibit 10. You recognize that photo, I assume?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's Mr. Gehrman?
That's correct.
As he appeared at the scene when you get there on the 3rd?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, when you arrived at the homicide scene, were you familiar with who he was?
No.
Okay. Did at some point in the investigation you learn that, oh, he's a local reporter and kind of well known?
Yep. That day, actually, one of the neighbors told somebody on our squad or somebody in the patrol section that he was a reporter for the RJ, so we did know that day.
Okay. And when you observed Mr. Gehrman at the scene itself, did you take note of items of property that were on his person?
Yes, I did.
And what did you take? What was on him?
He still had his car keys. He had money. He had his phone. There was, you know, most valuable things that people generally keep with them he had.
Okay. And I'm putting on the overhead States 41. Does that appear to be the keys?
Yes, ma'am.
And his car was where at the scene?
It was in the garage.
Okay. And this is States 43. Can you tell what that is there?
I think, is that part of the wallet?
Yeah. And this is a better photo, States 46?
Yes.
And his wallet had cash in it?
Yes, it did.
And then I think you said he also had his phone on him as well?
Correct.
And this is States 40?
Yes, ma'am.
So all of his valuables are on his person. Is that fair?
Yes, ma'am.
When you took note of him, though, I assume you're not touching the body and you're wearing gloves and that whole thing?
Right. We don't touch the body at all until the coroner investigators. That's their job.
Okay. But did you note or could you see that there were sharp force injuries or some type of injuries on his person?
Yes.
And that was probably readily apparent at the scene?
Yes.
I think you described that you don't touch the body until coroner investigators come to the scene as well?
Correct.
And they arrive because they have kind of concurrent jurisdiction with homicide detectives over an individual who has been murdered. Is that true?
Over any person, anybody that has died, the coroner investigators, they basically have jurisdiction over the body.
Okay,
we have the scene, but they have the human.
And so when they before homicide could move a body, the coroner's investigators have to arrive as well, and everybody has to kind of assess the scene?
Yes, ma'am.
At some point, though, obviously, an individual who's deceased is removed from the scene. Is that correct?
Correct.
May I push open, Charlotte?
Detective Gaddis, I'm showing you what's been marked as Statesboro Proposed 352.
Do you recognize that photo?
Yes, I do.
Does that appear to be a photo of the scene once Mr. Gehrman's body has been removed?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it a fair and accurate depiction?
Yes, it is.
City moves to admit 352.
No objection.
May I publish it, Your Honor?
Thank you. I'm going to publish what's been admitted as States 352. I think there's a mouse in front of you.
Yes.
Can you just... it's probably obvious, but circle for the jury where it was that Mr. Gehrman's body was laying.
Well, so he was actually laying all the way across like this, but his upper torso area was over here where that dark staining is, which was blood.
And that was blood?
Yes, ma'am.
At some point, you stay at the scene with the crime scene analyst. Are other detectives, I think you said, go and look for video in the area?
That is correct.
After you clear the scene and some video has been collected, does yourself and other detectives compile some information to be put out by Metro in a sort of a public information forum?
Yes, we did.
And do you recall what date it was that those images were released to the public?
The first date was Monday, the 5th of September, 2022. And then we did an additional press release the following day, which would have been... I think it was Tuesday the 6th.
Okay,
of 2022.
And those would have included images of the suspect and also the suspect vehicle?
Correct.
Can you switch me over? And I'm going to show you a video. This has been admitted as States 338.
Is that 338?
Yes. And do those appear to be the images, or at least some of the images that were used by Metro in conjunction with leasing information about the crime?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, after that was released, do yourself and other detectives get tips from the public, people saying who this might be?
Yes, we did. We received emails, phone calls. There was Crime Stopper tips that came in. We did receive many tips.
And did some of the tips suggest to you that you should consider Robert Tellis as a suspect?
That is correct.
After you get his name as a potential suspect, do you do some research with regard to his relationship to Jeffrey Gehrman?
Yes, I did.
And what do you find out, or what do you discover?
I found several articles that Jeffrey Gehrman wrote about Rob Tellis. They weren't flattering.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Having shown defense counsel what's been marked as State's Proposed 353, 353A, 353B, 353C, 353D, 353E, and 353F. Do you recognize all those items?
Yes, ma'am.
Do they depict some of the articles and social media commentary between Robert Tellis and Jeffrey Gehrman?
Yes, they are.
State moves to admit 353A through F.
And outside of what was previously addressed, we have no opposition.
Thank you. I'm going to put on the overhead what's been admitted as states 353. Does that appear to be one of the articles that was written about Mr. Tellis by Mr. Gehrman?
Yes, ma'am.
And that was on May the 26th of 2022?
Correct.
Can you just read us the headline?
In a rare move, consultant hired to resolve turmoil in county office.
And I'm now going to put on the overhead states 353A. Appear to be another article?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the date on that one?
It's May 16th, 2022.
And what's the headline on that one?
County office in turmoil with secret video and claims of bullying and hostility.
And now I'm going to put on the overhead states 353B.
That one's dated June 18th, 2022, and it's titled Embattled County Official Losing Re-Election Bid Posts Angry Letter.
And this is states 353C.
And the same, another article written by Jeff Gehrman, dated June 22nd, 2022, Embattled County official concedes race remains combative.
Now, I think you said in a couple questions ago there were also social media posts that you discovered in your investigation?
Yes, there were.
I'm putting on the overhead states 353D. Do these appear to be posts by Mr. Tellis?
Yes, ma'am, they were.
And it looks like this one at the top here is dated 6/18/22.
Correct.
Can you read it?
Wife hears rustling in the trash. Her, honey, is there a wild animal in the trash? Me, no dear. Looks like it's at Jay Gehrman, RJ, going through our trash for his fourth story on me. Oh, Jeff, and a laughy emoji.
Okay. And the rest of the text, it sort of compares or suggests that I left a pizza box and a sushi container in the trash. The next thing, I'm going to have like sort of criminal organization ties.
Correct.
And then the second to last one on that page, I think on 6/25/22, can you read that one?
Typical bully, can't take a pound of criticism after slinging 100 pounds of BS. Up to article number 4 now, you'd think he'd have better things to do.
And then this last one on the page, which is also on 6/18.
That one says, looking forward to lying smear piece number 4 by at J. Gehrman RJ, hashtag one trick pony. I think he's mad that I haven't crawled into a hole and died.
Now putting on the overhead what's been admitted as states 353E. Looks like some more social media posts.
Yes, ma'am.
And that one is from June the 17th of 2022. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what does that one say?
It says, does the at LVRJ know that at J. Gehrman RJ may be doing double duty on their dime? Do they know that he basically made a veiled threat to take down my site, with the truth after I had already lost the election?
And then there's like a screenshot, I guess, of
text messages.
Messages between himself and Gehrman?
That is correct.
And at least you probably can you see all of that one, the mm-hmm. where Gehrman responds?
Yes.
What does that say?
In the long response there?
Yeah.
It says, Rob, I'm putting together another story on your office. This has to do with the letter you posted on your campaign website addressing the hostile work allegations. Employees view that as a threat of retaliation and have reported it to Human Resources. I would like to get your comments on that as well as your take on the election results so far. I would need something from you this afternoon.
Okay. And are you also aware of a letter that Mr. Tellis posted on his website sort of answering some of the things that were alleged in those articles?
Yes, ma'am.
And let me see if I can get that. Sarah, did you already do that? Okay. Does that appear to be the letter?
Correct.
And this is, for the record, 338?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay. And that was posted on his, Mr. Tellis's website?
Yes, ma'am. I think it was his campaign website.
Campaign website.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but could you switch it back over? Thank you. I'm going to put on the overhead, States 353F. Is this a non-moving version of that letter?
That appears so, yes.
Okay. And fair to say the letter disputes several of the allegations that Mr. Garriman wrote about in his articles?
That's correct.
Now, you do research and you learn about the kind of tension between Mr. Garriman and Mr. Tellis. Do you also, in the course of the investigation, learn that of any more information about the vehicle?
Yes, we did.
And do you learn that Mr. Tellis's wife has a Yukon maroon in this the same type and model as is seen in the video in around Bronze Circle?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, at some point, is there an effort made to gather a lot of video?
Yes, there was.
And can you kind of describe what that process was that the detectives and yourself went to get that level of video?
So with this, actually, we ended up kind of employing other patrol detectives to help us because it was that extensive. Typically, we go to the last place that we know that either the image of the vehicle or the image of the person was seen, and we almost kind of like just leapfrog down the street. We'll make a game plan ahead of time, even just knowing major cross streets, that there's businesses there, businesses that we've pulled video from before, so sometimes we have like previous contacts to where we can just make phone calls, but a lot of the time it's literally walking the street, driving the street, and just leapfrogging after each other to follow whatever we're looking for, whether it's a person or a vehicle.
And in this case, quite a bit of video was gathered?
Yes, ma'am.
And did Detective Mogg sort of take control of the video, essentially, and start compiling it in a chronological manner?
Yes.
Now, on September the 5th, did you learn something in terms of forensic evidence that you had in this case?
We did. We learned.
And what was that?
That there was a foreign DNA detected under Jeff Garriman's fingernails.
At that time, did you know who that foreign DNA belonged to?
No. They ran it in the systems, our local and I think state CODIS system, and it returned with negative results.
And those are databases with known DNA profiles in them?
Correct.
And so you had requested that foreign DNA be run in those databases, but there was no response or no match?
Correct.
So once you have that foreign DNA, do you draft a search warrant in order to get a DNA sample from Mr. Tellis?
I did.
And that was based on sort of the video evidence that kind of tracked a Yukon going to Mr. Garriman's residence and then back in the area of Mr. Tellis's neighborhood?
Yes.
And as well as other facts that you had developed in the case in terms of their tense relationship and the fact that he had that kind of Yukon?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you drafted that search warrant, do you recall, like, was it day, night, or when you got that signed?
That would have been in the 2 o'clock hour, in the like 0200 hours on September 6th, 2022. With investigations like this, we typically work very, very, very long hours. Mm-hmm. So I know we had been there all day and all throughout the night. Now it's about 2 o'clock in the morning when I was able to complete the search warrant and send it off to get signed.
And when you say get signed, who reviews that?
A district attorney reviews it, and then a district court judge reviews them.
And so without a judge signing off on it, you're unable to complete a search?
Correct.
The search for September 7th, was that for Mr. Tellis's house to get a DNA sample and also to collect his phone?
Yes, it was.
Okay. At some point, do you learn that Mr. Tellis has been pulled over on September the 7th?
Yes, and that was the same morning. I think I misspoke a moment ago and said the 6th, but okay. It was into the 7th
okay,
the
so
morning.
To be clear, the warrant signed at like 2 in the morning on the 7th?
Correct.
And then he's pulled over so to effectuate that warrant about 5 hours later?
About, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Detective Gaddis, I'm showing you what's been marked as states 214 through 216. Just tell me if you recognize those.
Yes, ma'am.
Do those appear to be pictures of the area where Mr. Tellis was pulled over on the morning of September the 7th?
Correct, it is.
State moves to admit 214 through 216.
No objection.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting on the overhead states 214. That appears to be the car. Is that the car that Mr. Tellis was driving that morning?
Yes, ma'am.
And is it patrol officers that pull him over?
Correct.
Where are you when they pull him over?
Asleep.
At your house?
Yes.
Okay. Do you get a notification that he's been pulled over?
Correct.
And what do you do?
I got in my car and drove out to the intersection that he was stopped at.
Okay. When you get to that intersection, do you try to make contact with Mr. Tellis?
I did.
And did you record your conversations with him?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you explain to him that you had a search warrant for his DNA?
Yes, I did.
And did you tell him that you were going to go get or have someone get him a copy of the warrant so he could have it?
Correct.
At some point, do you explain to him that you'll be taking photographs of him without his clothing on and suggest that you go to a different location?
Correct. I didn't want to do that on the side of the road.
Okay. And is the location that you agree to with Mr. Tellis the Summerlin Area Command?
That is correct.
When you are going to the Summerlin Area Command, do you arrange for a crime scene analyst to come and take that buckle swab and also take photographs of Mr. Tellis?
Yes, I did.
And was that Jennifer Manning?
Correct.
You go, I assume, to Summerlin Area Command with him?
Yes, ma'am.
And does Ms. Manning show up, take photographs, and take a sample from him?
Yes.
Now, once you have that DNA sample, had you made any kind of arrangements for the DNA to be tested kind of immediately?
We did. We asked CSA Manning just to drive directly back to the lab to give it to the forensic scientists.
And is that unusual to have like a sample taken and DNA turned around that fast?
Oh, yes. I've never seen one come back that fast.
Okay. And that was because this is sort of a dynamic investigation. So
absolutely.
It needed to be a priority.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Now, while you're collecting, you're sort of there, but the crime scene analyst is collecting the buckle swab and the clothing, were other detectives effectuating a search warrant at Mr. Tellis's house?
Yes.
And that house is on Spanish Steps?
Correct.
I'm putting on the overhead what's been admitted as States 217. I know you weren't doing the search warrant, but do you recognize that location?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
That is Mr. Tellis's house.
Okay. Now, I'm going to just zoom in. Do you see security cameras on his house?
Yes, I do.
Circle them with your mouse?
Right over here.
Okay. So those are present on the day of the search warrant, which is the 7th?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to put on the overhead what's been admitted as States 348. And do you recognize that location?
Yeah, that's the same house.
Okay. Do you see whether or not there are security cameras there?
And there are not.
Okay. The surveillance photos that I just had up, those were taken on September the 1st?
That last one, yes. I believe so.
Okay. After collecting samples from and clothing from Mr. Tellis, do yourself and Detective Jappe take him back to his residence at some point?
Yes, we did later that afternoon.
Okay. Now, while you're still at Summerlin Area Command, do other detectives advise you of items that were found in the course of the search warrant?
Yes, I was getting updates throughout the day.
What sort of items were noteworthy that you recall that they found?
They called and told me that they found a pair of cut-up tennis shoes that looked like what the suspect was wearing on the video that we'd collected. They said that they had also located a satchel shoulder bag that looked the same as what was seen on the suspect, and there was a hat. It was a straw hat. Then they said that that also had been cut up in numerous pieces as well.
So you kind of knew that at some point while you're at the Summerlin Area Command?
Yes, I did.
Now, and at some point, you and Detective Jaffe take Mr. Tellis back to his house?
Yes, ma'am.
And he's free to go back in his house?
Correct.
At the time he was free to go back in his house, did you have any DNA confirmation results yet?
No.
How long after you let him go back in his house do you think you got the call?
Less than an hour.
Okay. At that point, is the determination made we're going to arrest him?
Correct.
When Mr. Tellis was in the house and ultimately officers go in and take custody of him and he's injured himself, are you present for any of that?
I was not.
Where were you at the time that was going on?
After I dropped him off at his home, Mr. Tellis, I took Detective Jappy back to his vehicle, which was at Summerlin Area Command, and then I drove to Metro Headquarters. With what we had found at the house that day, I was preparing arrest paperwork for Mr. Tellis, so I drove back to the office to start my declaration of arrest.
Okay. And so, because you have to write a report or a declaration of arrest in order to effectuate an arrest?
Correct.
Okay. So, at some point after he's taken into custody, you got that phone that belonged to him, that was taken from him on September the 7th as well?
His phone, it was inside the Tesla.
Okay.
That was at the traffic stop, and so we did a follow-up search warrant for that to get the phone, yes.
So you did a follow-up warrant getting judicial authorization to go into that phone. Did you also do another search warrant on September the 8th? At an office.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yes. That was at the public administrator's office.
And that was the offices of where Mr. Tellis was working?
Correct.
And was a computer collected on the 8th as well?
There was several.
Now, Detective, or may I approach, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Detective Gaddis, I'm showing you what's been marked as States 355. Do you recognize what this is?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. Is it labeled an extraction report?
It is.
And is it a report that came from a download of Mr. Tellis's phone?
Yes.
State moves to admit 355.
No objection.
And this includes messaging between Mr. Tellis and Mr. Gehrman?
Correct.
I want to move. To page 4. Can you see that on your screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The date of that message is what?
The 5/15, May 15th, 2022.
Okay. And so it kind of corresponds with one of the news articles?
Mm-hmm.
Is that yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what does it say?
It says that, I don't know what to say. I told you about how much this has all impacted me. You heard from employees who are being harassed by these people. Provided you prove that I was doing my best to actually smooth things over after I had to make hard decisions, still you wrote an article that makes it sound like I'm the guilty one. That was not fair or balanced.
And then there's another message here in the middle.
He says, I'm very distraught right now. Clearly there are typos in my message.
And then there's one towards the bottom?
Yeah, and it's still the same day, May 15th, 2022. It says, I've done so much for that office. I told you that I've been followed and that I caught Rita following me. You decided to take it on her word that she wasn't. However, clearly she was. It seems to me that you valued sensationalism or the value of a potential takedown than actually telling the truth. Thank you for helping him to drop more pressure on my life.
Was there a digital version of one of the articles that Mr. Gehrman wrote about Mr. Tellis?
What do you mean a digital version?
Like a version that had an attached
video clip? Video clip, yes.
Okay. And sorry, Sarah, but could you move us over? Thank you.
The Clark County Public Administrator's Office has been mired in turmoil and internal dissension for 2 years, with workers claiming emotional stress, bullying, and favoritism. Robert Tellis, who leads the office, has also faced allegations of an inappropriate relationship with a co-worker, Roberta Lee Kennett. In an interview with Review Journal investigative reporter Jeff Gehrman, Tellis disputed several complaints.
What is your reaction to the allegations from these employees that you have created a hostile environment in this office?
Yeah. You know, I earlier introduced you to the other seven team members, and they're folks who welcome with a great attitude, and they work hard. And together, them and I, we are what is making the difference with the forms of this office. I've tried my best to try to make everyone happy, but again, it's got to be within a certain framework. People just cannot get to do whatever they want, you know. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we've got some people who were here from before, who were basically trying to railroad me. And again, you met those other folks. You know, they're happy, they're dedicated, and we're just here to do a good job.
Tellis, who's up for re-election in the June primary, blames a handful of old-timers for claims about a hostile environment in the office.
And again, no matter what type of gestures I try to make to smooth things over, to make sure that they're happy, you know, they just don't, you know, it's nonstop. And again, like I said, it's hard for me to make sure that I am a cheerleader for the folks who are doing really good work when I've got these other folks who are constantly, you know, surveilling me, constantly trying to sabotage the office. But, you know, we're doing it, but it's hard.
Tellis denied allegations of any improper relationship with Lee Kennett.
And when you hear people raising these allegations about you and Roberta personal relationship that you have, what do you say to people about that?
Well, honestly, it's not true. I said I'm, you know, all of my friends, all my family know how much I love my wife. And if you look at, you know, obviously you can't talk to the people that I deal with on a daily basis. But from my social media, from everything, you can see that I am about nothing but justice, fairness, and just being a good person. And it sickens me, it destroys me that somebody would even level like accusations like that, because it's unreal. It's unreal the lengths that they're going to. They don't have any qualms trying to ruin my personal life to win this race.
Okay. And for the record, that video was from States 338. So if I could flip back over and put on States 355 again. These messages where he says Mr. Tellis says he's distraught and the article wasn't fair, those appear to be in response to that published article?
Correct.
Now, you, fair to say, went through a lot of aspects of Mr. Tellis's phone, is that accurate?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you look at his search history of news articles?
Yes, I did.
And generally, were there searches regarding Mr. Gehrman and himself?
Yes, there were.
This is States 356. And that's part of the search criteria, Jeffrey Gehrman, Las Vegas?
Correct.
And so you would have noted that as you examined the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you also Did you also look to the phone to see if you could find items of clothing?
Yes, I did.
I'm putting on the overhead States 360. Do you recognize, well, it's been admitted as 360.
Yes.
Do you recognize what that is?
Yes, I do.
Is that an extraction report from Mr. Tellis's phone?
That's correct.
And what are those thumbnail pictures that we see?
Like, what is the actual image of?
Yep.
It is an image of a gray Nike shoe with a black and white on it. There's also a rock climbing shoe in that image, and it looks like an ankle and a sock, like as if somebody was just switching out their shoes.
And that was found in Mr. Tellis's phone?
Correct.
And does this appear to be a bigger version than the thumbnail version?
Yes.
Now, why was that significant?
Because those shoes are identical to the ones that the suspect wore as he was walking in the neighborhood on video.
Okay. And those shoes, were they found somewhere too?
That is correct.
Where were they found?
Those shoes were found inside Rob Tejas' house, and one of them was cut up into pieces.
And this is States 228. That appears to be the shoe?
Yes, ma'am.
And those were tested for DNA as well, correct?
Correct.
Now, did Mr. Tellis take screenshots of articles written by Mr. Gehrman?
Yes, he did.
And were those stored on his phone as well?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm showing. May I approach, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you what's been marked as State's Proposed 359. Ask you to look through that.
I should have worn my glasses today.
Do you want mine?
No, that's okay. I can see. Yeah. Yes, I recognize them.
Okay. Is that another extraction report from Mr. Tellis's phone?
It is.
And does it contain screenshots of the articles written by Mr. Gehrman about him?
Yes.
State moves to admit 359.
And just so we're clear, this is a paper version, just previously addressed on the video or you know, part of that larger exhibit?
It's not. It probably is on the video, but not in paper.
Otherwise. Okay, we have no objection.
Okay, thank you. I'm putting on the overhead States 359. That's the extraction report, and then we see the thumbnails of the screenshots.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to flip to the end because it's easier to see. It's a bigger version of the thumbnails that were stored on his phone of these articles.
Yes.
And it's the articles Mr. Gehrman wrote about him about kind of turmoil at the public administrator's office?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you also find information indicating that Mr. Tellis was following kind of the fallout, I guess we should say, of the article on social of the articles on social media?
Yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you what's been marked as States Proposed 362.
Yes.
Do you recognize that?
I do.
Does that appear to be screenshots of some of the back and
conversations?
Forth
after yes.
The article ran?
Yes, ma'am.
State moves to admit 362.
We have no objection.
And I think we'll do this one. What does that screenshot say?
That was a screenshot that I found on Mr. Tejas' phone. It says, push news articles down. That was the search. And then the first thing that populates is how to push a negative search result down, four steps to bury them.
Okay, four steps to bury
the article.
Negative search results?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just do another one. This is a screenshot of a social media post that's sort of critical of Mr. Tellis?
Correct. And that's the same poster or the same same tag name, the chill pill.
Okay. And then another one of by that same person?
Yes, ma'am.
Another one?
Correct.
And this is all on Mr. Tellis's phone?
Yes, ma'am.
This next image, and for the record, this is all from States 354, appears to be a conversation back and forth between Mr. Tellis and John Cahill?
Correct.
About stuff going on at the office?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Tellis is responding on social media about the articles?
That's correct.
Now, you also, I think, searched Mr. Tellis's work computer?
Yes, I did.
So, may I publish, because this one's already admitted, Your Honor. This is States 357. I'm going to show you the bigger images, but do you recognize what that is?
I do.
What is that?
Those are screenshots that I found of, they were on Mr. Tellis's phone of the desktop computer.
Okay, and I'm going to flip to some of the larger images that are attached to States 357. These appear to be searches associated with Mr. Gehrman.
Correct. It has his name on there.
Okay. Do you know what IDI Corps is?
I do.
What is that?
It is a, how do I explain it? So, like, for us, for the police department, we use a program called Accurate. IDI Corps is very similar to Accurate, which both of them, you can search people, you can find relatives, associates, prior addresses, additional phone numbers. Some of them you can even find email addresses, things like that, basically to try to either locate people or locate family of people. I think basically the only difference is that the IDI Corps is, we buy licenses. So if that public entity being like the PA's office or the coroner's office or the police department, they want to buy one over the other. It's just basically the fee of the license that they're willing to pay for, I think. But both of them do the same, very similar functions.
Identifying locations, you know, someone's residence,
yes.
Their vehicle, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of personal information about that
Correct.
Person.
Yeah.
And so that was found on Mr. Tellis's phone as well.
Yes.
How about images of Bronze Circle? Did you find that on his phone?
I did.
Yes, I'm just looking for it. And probably. So what are we looking at? And for the record, this is States 354.
So the street here below is, okay. The street is Bronze Circle. The house to the left with like the pinkish in color is Mr. Gehrman's house.
And how many images do you think you saw of Bronze Circle and the surrounding area?
I would be good saying about 50 at least.
Okay, let's go through. And was it just all around the cul-de-sac?
Yes.
And do you recall the date of those images?
Ooh, I don't off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
If you could refresh my memory.
I'm going to overhead the extraction report. This is States 363. Thank you. And see if we can.
I can see it.
Okay.
It
says
August 12th, 2022.
Okay. And those were when all of those images at least were modified, or there's some indication they were modified in the phone on August the 12th?
Correct.
How about images that were taken of like random cars?
Yes.
Let me find those.
And for the record, this is still on State's proposed Exhibit 354. I'll put it on this way. Sorry, Sarah. This is State's 364.
I recognize it.
And there were how many images in this extraction report?
I think it was almost a couple hundred.
Okay. And when you saw those on the phone, let's check the date. Do you see the date for them?
I do. It's August 15th, 2022.
Okay. And what did you do when you saw all of those images of all these street views?
I started talking to all the people in my bay, the other detectives that sit near me. It just looked really odd to me, so I just kind of started grabbing people like, hey, what do you think this is? Where do you think it's at? And a few of us sat there and tried to figure out where the images were taken from.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to pin it down.
How were you able to pin it down? What did you do?
So looking at the images, we could see that there was like a street sign kind of in the far distance, and you could tell that it was a long name. You could also see a lot of the foliage from the houses. You could see some mountains in the background. So just talking about it in general, it was, okay, well, I know this isn't going to be northwest because the foliage, it's too grown. It's too mature. So, and it's got this portion of a mountain in it. So let's keep, we basically just narrowed it down by sections of town and what mountain we thought that was in the background. And then one of the guys, he hit it on the head with the street. He finally got to the street. After that, I drove out to the street and sat in the same position to where I could tell that the photographs were from and confirmed that that's where the photographs were taken.
May I approach, Your Honor?
I'm showing you what's been marked as State's proposed 365. It's actually a couple pages, so if you could look through all three of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recognize those photographs and that map?
I do.
And are they related to those street images that we were just discussing?
They are.
State moves to admit 365.
No objection.
So you said you went to the location?
I did.
I'm putting on the overhead the first page of State's 365. And what are we looking at there?
So on the far left of the screen, it has the address, the 7216 Brown Circle, which was Jeff Gehrman's address. Mm-hmm. And then the address to the far right of the screen with the red pin drop is 6121 Vegas Drive, which is right at the intersection of Vegas and North Jones Boulevard.
So where I'm pointing with my pin, that's Mr. Gehrman's house?
Correct.
And this red pin drop is where you determined that those photos were taken from?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you take other photos to kind of demonstrate that that was the correct vantage point?
I did.
And let me flip to the second page of 365. Can you kind of orient the members of the jury, like what they should be looking at to know that that series of images, like this is the location?
So this is it's a Popeye's restaurant there at the corner of Vegas and Jones. This directional view is facing west. And so this is Vegas Drive over here, just beyond that wall. And it's this section of the wall that has the cinder block is cut at an angle that's very distinctive, and that's in many of the photos from that area.
And I'm going to flip to the last page of 365. What are we looking at there?
That's the Google Street View of that area. So the Popeyes is over here, that's the sign, and then that wall that I'm talking about is there, and there's also a power box that's down here a little bit, kind of in, under a tree.
Okay. And then going back to the first page of 365, that's just like the main street out of Mr. Gehrman's house?
That's correct.
Now, I want to move to what's been admitted as States 354. I'll just pick one of these out random. Sorry, Sarah. Thank you. Can you orient us looking at this shot, kind of what you just explained in terms of how you know this is the location?
Yes. So that center block wall is there on the bottom left portion of the screen. And you can see the power box down there on the ground as well. So when I was personally sitting in the Popeyes parking lot and turned westbound, that's the exact image that I saw.
And so you documented all those images in 365 in order to compare them later to, well, to compare them to the images we see from Mr. Tellis' phone from, it looks like, 8-8 of 2024?
Correct. That 8-8 is not the date that image was taken.
Oh, that's right. It was 8-15, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Of 2022.
Yes, of 2022. And that would just be another image?
Correct. There was numerous that were just like that.
Another one?
Correct.
Another one?
Yes. Yes, same.
Okay. And all of them appeared to have that center block wall, so you were able to orient the photo?
Yes, ma'am. And if the wall wasn't there for some reason, then we were still able to compare it to the trees and the wall in the background and the mountain in the background, but it was still the same location.
Okay. Now, during the course of your investigation, did you also hear two recordings taken from Mr. Gehrman's phone?
I did, yes.
And were they like sort of threatening audio recordings?
Yeah. Yes.
What steps did you take in terms of following up on those?
So the recordings themselves that were in Mr. Gehrman's phone just show that they were audio files. They sound like they're voicemails, but I don't believe that they are voicemails received into that phone. I think it's maybe as if he checked his office voicemail or something, and that's how it came in through the phone. But so I listened to both of those. Neither of them really, they don't identify Mr. Gehrman by name. They just seem very angry and like they're ranting about something. So I started going back on Mr. Gehrman's, or looking back at his news articles that he wrote to see if there was anything that coincided right around the same time that the voicemails were received. And I didn't find anything.
And so the sort of the date that's marked in the phone for the voicemails. Well, actually, may I approach, Your Honor?
You
may. More continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Tellez is on the way. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today, press subscribe now.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it sippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.